All right, well, good morning, friends. Hallelujah. How's everyone doing this morning? We're going to have a close, intimate meeting, and that's fine. Praise God. God is still here. God is here. Right?
Amen.
Came with me.
Amen. Says where two or three are gathered. Hallelujah. And so we rejoice, we're grateful, we're thankful to him for all that he's done. I'm going to open with a word of prayer, and then we're just going to get into the word, and then just share, which is part of what today is about, okay? And I'm happy to just dig down, solidify on some things we've been talking about, and then just move on based on what he has for us in this year, okay?
Amen.
Awesome. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for your power and presence in this room. Thank you, Father, for your presence in this place. Thank you, Lord, for healing made sure. Thank you, Father, even for testimonies based on manifestations that just issue forth powerfully. Give you all the praise and glory, Lord, for all that you've done and what you accomplished by your son, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the power and the authority which you've given to us, and which we get to richly enjoy as we step forth in power, as we continue on in relationship and place of intimacy with you. We say we love you, Lord. We give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, friends, we've been, for the past few sessions that I've taken the class, healing class, we've been talking about God's word.
Thank you.
God's word. And the power inherent in God's word, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. We saw how that God's word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We saw how that it's living and active and full of power, in effectuating things in our bodies. We talked about speaking life, speaking the word, getting in the word, meditating on the word, having the word steeped in our hearts, settled there so that when situations come up, when symptoms, when diseases, when infirmities, when ailments try to creep up on us, on our bodies, how we respond in faith. And also considered situations where it's trying to creep on, maybe it's been there for a specific length of time, and how we stand in faith by way of speaking. So speaking God's word. Also, speaking words, issuing words from our mouth that give credence to the finished work, what Christ has done, perfected on the cross. And that's important, so that whether it's a case of calling those things that be not as though they were, as we saw in Romans in chapter 4, and then they are, for example, as it concerns healing, maybe it's an issue, maybe you've been told about your lungs not perfect, your heart's not perfect, or some body part is not functioning perfectly. And then you speak life into that area. So that's 100%, for example, in my case, high blood pressure. To say, the number is 120 over 80 or 120/75, and then speaking life over that, or and then those numbers coming in line. By the power of God. So every situation is not exactly the same, but basically calling those things that be not as though they were, and then they are. You see that manifestation. Or we saw in Jesus, in Mark 5, how that in the case of Jesus and that 12-year-old girl, things that are as though they were not. Because in that case, the information that came from the house of Jairus, the leader, was, your daughter is dead. So that was, as it were, fact presented. Don't bother the master anymore. She's dead. Mark in chapter 5 from verse 38 to about 43. She's dead. Don't bother the master. It says, and when he got there with all the commotion, he said, what's all the commotion for? She's only asleep. So calling those things that are as though they're not, they're what? Not. So that means you can speak death, for example, in the area of healing and health to conditions. So arthritis, they've told you you have arthritis, and you say, no, I don't have arthritis. Instead, I have a perfectly functioning body. You've got this, whether it's migraine or this cancerous growth or whatever it is. And then that's what you've been told. But concerning yourself, you declare based on God's word, you declare truth, and you declare life in that situation. And guess what? Change gets effected. And we had several testimonies come up, you know, in the class. Praise God. Now, for today, here's where we're going. With all the speaking, here's a question I have this morning. There is something, friends, at the base that ought to guide all speaking. There's something at the root. So we're talking about speaking God's word. And we saw how that God's word is medicine, right? Proverbs in chapter 4, verse 22. You know, so gives life to all the flesh is medicine to their bodies. So, but in all the speaking, issuing forth God's word, or based on revelation and insight that you've received as by the Holy Spirit in speaking to that situation, words of life, in all the speaking, there's something that backs it up. There's something at the root of it, which if we get a hold of, which if we get a grasp of, which if we get a good underscore and understanding of, makes it, we get to see visible manifestation more, not just effortlessly, but also just constantly in our daily walk. What is that thing at the root of all speaking? What is that thing at the root of all, I almost give it away. What is that, Gail? What's that thing that backs it all up? That if we understand, it makes the speaking, we're not just speaking. When you speak to that ailment or speak to that condition or speak to that mountain, are you just speaking? No. You're speaking life. Change gets affected. But there's something which if we understand in its true light and appreciate for what it is, it just takes us over. As in as far as over whatever humps or whatever things that may serve as not only distractions but inhibitions or obstructions to us seeing the manifestation. What is it?
I think it's belief, your faith.
Belief?
Do you believe it? Do you actually believe when you speak it's going to happen?
Okay, belief. Do you believe it? Do you believe that when you speak it's actually going to happen? Thank you. That's a good one, Gail. Belief.
And knowing your authority.
Good morning. Yes, healing class. Hallelujah. Hello. Morning. You're welcome. Morning. Please go ahead and have a seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. Again, welcome to House on the Rock Church. This is healing class. All right, we're just talking about, I just did a quick recap of the last few classes that I've been here, what I've been talking about. We've been talking about speaking God's word, how that God's word is quick and powerful, you know, and living and active, effective. And so in speaking God's word, and so I won't, you know, go back over all what I just said, but essentially the power inherent in God's word and then speaking as believers. We've talked about the importance of speaking based on, Gail just mentioned, faith, believing the truth of God's word and then speaking that forth. What else? So the question is, what's at the base or what forms the backing? There's something integral that we ought to know, understand, appreciate, that just reinforces the speaking so that as believers, when we talk, we're not just speaking mere words. First, God's word. Second, revelation based on the finished work. For example, as it concerns healing and health by his stripes, 1 Peter 2:24, you were healed. So when we speak the word itself is quick and powerful, yes. But also when we speak concerning situations and circumstances which we face, in our health, in areas of our bodies, for example, in our hearts, in our minds, is something that is at the root of it, at the base of it, that makes it effectual, that makes it not only super effectual, but you get to see manifestation as a course, normal course in your life, in your living, daily walk. What is that thing? You mentioned belief. What else? Gail, did you say something else? There was something. Did you add something? There was an addendum.
Your authority.
Hallelujah. I think that's when we had that slight interruption. Friends, it's the authority of the believer. We don't just issue forth words. We don't just speak, as it were, vain words. There's a backing when we speak. We speak with authority. So we throw it around. Oh, believer's authority, believer's authority, right? Oh, we bandy it about. Oh, believer's authority. So but what is it? What is the believer's authority? What is the believer's authority? What is the nature of it? What does it mean? What's the essence of it? So it's an interactive class, and that's the title for today, The Believer's Authority. And based on the scriptures and places we're going to go in God's Word, we're going to see the trend for the next couple of weeks or so, based on what I had shared a few weeks back as far as where we're going. So, was that the answer to the question? You want to give a shot in that?
I was going to say the authority is a transfer. Jesus had the authority and gave it to us. Said, take this and do what I've done.
Hallelujah. It's a transfer of authority. It says, take this and do what I have done. Correct? Excellent. And we're going to see more of that. That's great. What else on authority? The reason why it's important, friends, is because when we speak on, what are the three main aspects of healing school and healing class? Why are we here? Why are we here in healing class? Yes.
It's to receive healing.
How to receive healing.
How to walk in divine health. How to walk. So we never get sick.
How to walk in divine health.
And how to minister healing to other people.
And then how to minister healing to others. And you see, friends, the believer's authority plays an active role in every area and every aspect. How to receive for yourself. Understanding authority. How to walk in the fullness of what you received. Or how to walk in divine health. Understanding of your authority. How to minister healing to others. Understanding your authority plays a crucial role. And that's why I say it's at the base of it. It's at the root of it. It's crucial. And so it's great and it's important. It's pertinent that as believers, we understand what this authority is and the nature of it. So thank you, Russ, for that. What else? What's the essence of authority? What's the nature of it? Yes. Jude.
To further what you said, it's a delegation of power. The governor is the head of this state. He delegates his power to state troopers, policemen.
Hallelujah. So he delegates his power.
It could be small in stature, but as long as they have that badge of authority, you know, I cannot run them over. When they say stop, I stop. When they hold up their hand, traffic stops. So that's the delegation of power.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So delegation. So we can look at authority from the perspective or the point of view of the delegation of what? Of power. Okay, so and Jude gave the example of the governor and then delegating power to, for example, police officers and state troopers and things of that nature. So, and then they get to carry out his bidding in that manner. So a delegation of power. What else? So one more.
Their inheritance.
An inheritance. Could you explain? Roughly. I mean, you don't have to.
Well, it's kind of funny. I was listening to Curry Blake, and he says people will give him a hard time about all the miracles that happened. And they said, who died and made you king? And he said, Jesus. Jesus did.
Praise God.
King and priest.
Hallelujah.
He died and gave it to me. I've got it.
Hallelujah.
Child of God, it's our inheritance. Co-heirs with Christ.
That's awesome. That's powerful. That's powerful. As an authority, as what? An inheritance. Okay, that's beautiful. So now, the point of this is to also go into God's Word and answer the question, how? How did we come into this position of authority? Are you aware that you have authority? Do you know that you have authority?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Do you know? Because what we see, friends, is, and without, you know, with respect to everyone in this room, I'm not speaking about anyone in particular, I'm just saying generally as it occurs, as it obtains in life, we have believers walking through life being beaten, battered, and bruised by situations, circumstances, issues, health conditions, and different things, who are walking this walk in this life, not knowing, one, who they are in Christ and the authority that they have, that they wield. And that's half of the battle for the enemy. He can make you unaware of what you possess or what you carry on the inside. Then guess what? Are you going to fully maximize it? Are you going to walk in the fullness thereof? Are you going to have the greatest expression of that life or of that gift evident in your life or evident in your walk?
Not.
It hops back to a scripture from the Old Testament that says, talking about, and that's not a reference to you, but that's why I just, people perishing because of lack of what?
Knowledge.
Not knowing. And that's one of the modes of operation of the enemy. To blind you so that you can't see, you don't know. And when you don't know, you can't fully maximize it. Okay, so it's healing class. So before we get into the word, I'm throwing out there, how are we in authority? How do we know?
By the word of God.
Great, awesome. What about the word of God? Because that's an aim for this year as well and beyond. Because this is not just, teaching, preaching, I just come and throw the word at you, but it's an interactive class, so we get to interact. And my heart and my aim is that each individual, that every soul, every individual here present and that attends will be what? Of their own, grounded in what? In God's word. Because guess what? Pastor Shane's not going to be with you 24 hours, 7 days a week. Pastor Mike isn't. The leaders aren't going to be with you. You have to walk that walk, take that stand by yourself. So you have to be rooted and grounded in what? In God's word. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of God, let the word of Christ dwell what? In you what? Richly. Admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Okay? So you have to be rooted. So, God's word. Excellent. What does God's word say about authority? And how does that relate to you as a believer, as a Christian, as someone who is born again? What does God's word say? Because guess what? And this is the premise of this message as I lay the foundation for the next few weeks is you have to know. Yes?
So like the way that I think about it is like I understand that Jesus made me like him in every way. And he has a purpose for me. He has a mission for me to fulfill what he started. And so it's easy for me to, like, pick up where he left off. Like, we're called to preach the gospel and take the good news to the ends of the earth. And so he's equipped me. He's empowered me. He's given me his Holy Spirit. And my spirit's been joined with his. And so he's made me like him in every way. And so I have to know that I'm righteous. I have to know that I'm equipped. He's given me of his nature and everything to finish what he started, and he showed me how, he lived it, he taught it, he modeled it, and he's saying, I gotta go, and you finish it. And so it's just easy for me to look at it that way, is he lives in me, he's empowering me to walk like he did in power and love and in a demonstration of the kingdom of God, to preach the gospel and to prove the gospel.
Wow.
With signs and wonders following.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Did you hear that? Now, Suzanne, I have to tell you, I couldn't put it in a better way by way of expression, simplifying it, you know. And so, and I know that answers the question, and it's all about looking into God's word and just basically seeing everything that you just said. Well, it's so crucial, it's important. When we see it in God's word ministers life to our hearts as a son and daughter of the Most High. When you see it, it's that place of intimacy. When revelation hits you, I've had preachers talk about, and you've probably heard in the past, a light bulb coming up. You know, it's like a bulb. It switches on in your head and your heart. You just get it.
Yeah.
Well, it's by God's word. So, but what I'm saying is, as I'm saying, she's expressed it. That's how it is. She said, this is how she sees it. Yes. But then you have to have that tapestry in your heart. What do I mean by that? On the pages of the book. Because I can tell you, regardless, I'm a pastor, I've been pastoring a few years now. It doesn't matter how many times you go over the same thing. Trust me, every time, there's always new light. There's always new light as by the Holy Spirit, as by the Holy Ghost. And my encouragement to us this morning is, regardless how many times you've heard the message, 1 Peter 2:24, anytime a pastor mentions it, poof, you just switch off. You switch off. I've heard that. I don't even know if that refers to healing or not. That just hops back to like the sower sowing seed. And before the seeds drop, guess what? The enemy comes and does what? Snatch it from your heart so that it doesn't even hit. And then we have to start talking about what kind of ground is it. But if before the man of God mentions, Romans 8:11, I'm like, there's another one. Is it healing? And then there's doubts and then, no. But let the Holy Spirit do his work in your heart. And you have to allow him to do that in the place of just spending time in God's word, in the place of intimacy, prayerfully studying God's word, meditating on God's word. And that's why the question was, where in scripture? Where's the word? So my encouragement for us this year and beyond is, beyond our business, beyond the activities. Because guess what? It's not only when a health condition hits that's not the time to run and say, fellowship, I got up. No. You're in communion, just as you mentioned. You're joined, your spirit is one. 1 Corinthians 12:13, 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that is joined unto the Lord is what? One spirit. Okay, so that's it. You're one spirit with them in the place of intimacy. You get in the word and see light. And he shows himself. God reveals himself through his word over and over and over again.
To tack on to Suzanne, which was quite lovely, by the way, when we preach it to others, it actually becomes more clear when you try and tell somebody
Express it.
About it. Yeah. It really does. Sometimes it's hard to get it out, but then you think about it, how would I tell this person? Then it really kind of cements it in you as well.
I love that, Gail. That's awesome.
There's a verse that says
we went two
that,
classes ahead.
Yeah. By the effectual sharing of our faith, we may have a full understanding of everything that we've received, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Philemon 6, I believe. Mm-hmm. One chapter, verse 6. Mm-hmm. It says that the communication of your faith might be made effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. And so part of the every good thing in us in Christ Jesus is what? Is our healing and our health, divine, provided. That's by his death, resurrection, and glorious ascension. And I love what, Gail said about when you share with others. Guess what? As you're ministering to others, you're also hearing yourself speak. And faith, if faith is either born or faith is strengthened, faith is encouraged when you share that. And you share life and you see change just like that. Oh, maybe they didn't get all the healing right away, but it's, that feels a whole lot better. I couldn't move it, but now it's moving. And It might be a sign. There might be something, a manifestation right away. Or even if there's not, you just walked in what? What's the O word you just walked in? O word. There's an O word you just walked in. Obedience. Thank you, sweetie. Obedience. You just walked in what? In obedience to Jesus. And we're going to see that now. And we're going to continue on as the weeks go on. But as we go on, let's keep this in mind. As we speak about authority, keep it in mind that this is healing class, and it's about the authority we have in our speaking. It's the authority we have in commanding. How many know you can command? You can issue a command. Someone talked about delegation. You can issue a command, and command is backed with authority. And guess what, friends? I might as well say it now, throw it in there. We cannot speak about authority without what? Power. Authority does not stand alone. You can search the scripture all through. Authority never stands alone. With authority comes great, is what? Great power.
Power,
yes. I said power. Power. Or power, however. Let me go back to Africa. Let me go back to my roots. Power, okay. Comes power. It's inherent. Okay, and so what I want us to see right now is, and I said we're in scripture, so we see that some will see, I just want to expose a little and then we'll continue on next time. From scriptures, we see a delegation, and that's the word delegation. We see a delegation while Jesus still walked the face of the earth to his disciples, where he gave them authority, right? And so one little thing we're going to see today is, how does that relate to you, though? Because I've had the question, okay, yeah, Jesus gave authority and power to the disciples. Well, how does that have to do, what does that have to do with the believer? How does that relate to the Christian? Anyone want to throw something out there? Yeah, it's a question. It's a question. It's a question. How does it relate?
We're the same.
How?
We all have the same authority.
Correct.
How does we're all disciples of Jesus.
Correct.
By the giving of the Holy Spirit. That's where our power comes.
By the giving of the Holy Spirit. Okay.
That's how we're different from them.
That's how
we have it inward.
Hallelujah. And so that's one of the distinctions we're going to see next week. How that, okay, the power and authority was delegated to them, but then let me put it this way, we have what they have and much, much more as far as an expression. So, and that's why John 14:12 is key. And we're going to see that real quickly. Ifeah, you had something?
You have the authority in you. When Satan tempts you, you don't have to worry about it because you already have the word in you, so you can drive him out.
Hallelujah. So his thoughts or, suggestions, you can drive those out, kick those away. Thank you. Thank you, baby. That was awesome. Yep. You realize you have that power and authority. You can drive them out. Drive those thoughts out. All right. Do we want to see? Want to see something? All right. Let's go to Luke in chapter 9. Luke in chapter 9. Concerning Jesus, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all. All right, let me read that again. He gave them power and authority over some demons, a few demons. It says all demons and to cure what? Diseases. Verse 2, he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to what? Heal the sick.
Thank you, Jesus.
Verse 6. Chapter 9, verse 6. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching what? The gospel and healing what? Everywhere. All right. That was about the 12, and you can read the rest of the chapter. Let's jump to chapter 10. I'll take verse 1. And after these things, the Lord appointed what? 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into what? Every city and place where he himself was about to go. All right, let's jump to verse 19. Or you know what? Let's talk about the report. Verse 17. Let's take it from verse 17. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even what? The demons are subject to us. What? In your name. Verse 18. And he said to them, I saw Satan do what? Fall like lightning from heaven. 19. Behold, I give you what? The authority
and power.
Depending on what version you have. And as I've said, study it out, friends. When you see authority, you see power. You go to the root, you go to the Hebrew originals, you go to the Greek originals, it's inherent. All right. Says 19. Behold, I give you the authority, inherent is power, to trample on what? Serpents and scorpions, and over what? To trample over all the power of the enemy, and nothing, someone say nothing, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Power and authority to trample over all the power of the enemy. Did we see that? Mm-hmm. So he told them to go preach, and then he gave them authority and power, correct? Now let's see this in full play. Let's see this in full swing, especially as I want to quickly make the connection to the believer in response to that question. Keep in mind the two chapters we just looked at. Go to Mark in chapter 16. Now, as you look into your Bibles, and as I read, please tell me if you see any correlations, if you decipher by revelation, by insight, by just your eyes or just by looking, if there's anything that hits you. As we read, I'm going to read Mark in chapter 16. I'm going to take it from verse 14, just for us to get perspective, for the scope in the passage. Later, concerning Jesus, he appeared to what? The 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had what? Risen. So, the portions we read was before he went to the cross, correct? As far as sending out his disciples. First the 12 and then the 70, correct? Now, next verse. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to what? Every what? Creature.
Creature?
Yes. Or every living being. In Matthew's version, he says, all power and authority has been given unto me. And then he went ahead and then commissioned them. But let's read on in this passage, Mark 16. He who believes and is baptized will be what? Saved. But he who does not believe will be what? Condemned. Now he goes on to then describe the characteristics of the person who believes, or characteristics inherent of what? The believer. Look at it. Verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will what? Cast out demons. They will what? Speak with new tongues. They will what? Take up serpents. And if there be any... let me stop quoting. Let me just read. If they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. And they will what? Lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.
Hallelujah.
Now, here we see Jesus, after his death and resurrection, sending his disciples out to preach the gospel of the kingdom, preach the good news, and that those who believe, these signs, who can say anything about these signs and what we just read in the synoptics, in the book of Luke, chapter 9 and chapter 10?
They're similar.
Ah.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Did you see that, friends? So, for this lesson, I'm just giving a quick overview, but I just wanted to just set this one main point across to us in response to that question. Yes, the disciples had delegated authority. He gave them power. He gave them authority to go do, and they came back with awesome, grand, great results. And now Jesus is saying, in sending them out to go preach the good news, he said, look, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name. Those who believe in my name, they shall do what? And then list those things. They shall cast out demons, speak in new tongues, lift up serpents, take a deadly thing, poisonous thing, and shall by no means hurt them. Lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall, and the sick will recover. So by the self-same gospel, by the good news of his death, resurrection, and then glorious ascension, anyone who believes comes into that position of authority. Because Jesus gave it. Hallelujah. 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 So it's not just, only disciples could walk in this, could take care of demons, take care of diseases, infirmities, and whatnot. We also, as believers, have been called to that. It says we're not going to chase after the signs. It says the signs will do what? Will follow.
Yes.
Just by nature, by virtue of your being, we're in Christ. And so, let's turn our Bibles to John 14, 12. I said we're going to go there. John in chapter 14, verse 12. And just before we read, I'm going to say this. The believer's authority and the believer's authority in expression is wrapped up, is fully wrapped up in understanding and appreciating the identity or the true identity of the believer. The believer's authority in expression, that is in outworking, that is you taking, making the best use or giving expression to that authority which you have in you, is wrapped up in the believer's true identity and a full underscore appreciation of that identity. That's why, friends, it's called what? The believer's authority. The key to understanding your authority is to knowing who you are, your identity as what? As a believer. Sometimes we chase after, authority, understanding authority. But if you understood who you are or who you are in Christ, that answers that question, takes care of that question. You don't have that issue when you face things. You don't wait a second for it to get debilitating, for that disease or sickness to be something that floors you or that lays you flat before you strike back in power. Because you know who you are.
Amen.
John 14:12. Any questions so far? All right. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Jesus speaking out from the New King James Version. And friends, I've seen how that the key in that passage, that's an awesome portion of scripture. The key in that passage is just the last few words. The reason, the rationale. Because over the years that I've passed, there have been so many debates and arguments about, what are the greater works? Right? So that the Amplified would say greater works in, how does it put it? Do I have it in extent? I think in extent and expression or something to that nature. But there's been argument, what does it mean greater works? But greater works means greater works, friends. And you study this out. It just is what it is. Jesus was so clear in what he said. If you read, I want to encourage us to take the whole chapter and, you know, after that, the whole book, just take it, fellowship time, word time, study time, however it is. It's just the way it is. It's greater works, and that's what he said. I've done this, but then greater works you will do also because what? I go to the Father. What was the import of that? Let's look at one or two other versions in that regard. Oh, okay, I have to amplify that. I assure you, and most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in me as Savior will also do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these in extent and outreach, because I am going to the Father. Let's look at it from the expanded. I tell you the truth, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the same things that I do. Those who believe will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. They will do greater things because all believers, not just Jesus, will have the Holy Spirit living in them and empowering them. I believe Gail touched on that a little earlier. So it's important for us to in fully understanding this, to track back in the narrative, and we'll continue on next week in this regard. He said greater works, and he said, because I'm going to the Father. And if we read down a couple more verses, in fact, let's look at verse 16. It says, I'll pray the Father, John 14, and he will give you what? Another comforter. That he will do something, that he will do what? He will be with you forever. Another, John chapter 14, let's see. John 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Okay, New King James says another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because sees him not, neither does it know him. And then on and on. Another helper. Another comforter, that he will be with you. And so Gail went ahead and talked about the day of Pentecost, which we'll examine, take a look at next week. But what the purpose of this now is to show you how this authority actually comes to take place in you recognizing and understanding your identity, your position that you now have in Christ Jesus. Because here's what I'm saying. This authority is not just, verbally, I'll just give you authority. Or, on paper, I'll just give you an authority. You find out how that inherent in you, not outside of you, not in some atmosphere or stratosphere somewhere, authority that you have to claim to be able to wield. No. You have authority on the inside. You have authority on the inside is what I said.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Because guess who's living in you? Yes.
I was just going to say, to add on to that, the verse about he's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we ask or imagine according to his power that works where?
Within us.
In us.
Yeah.
He's working.
Hallelujah. His power is at work on the inside of you.
It's renewing. So we're renewing our mind when we're in the Word and we're talking to the Father. And when it says another comforter, so Jesus was comforting them at that time.
At that time?
And now another is. So he's getting them prepared. I'm sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. He's getting them prepared for when he leaves, when he exits the scene by way of glorification. Okay, and so the word another in the original is the word allos, A-L-L-O-S, and it means another of the same kind, another of the same type, another, and this is my own coinage, another of the same species. Okay, so it's not, less in power, anything like that. No, so that they may be comforted. So that, because he's telling them, I've got to go. He told them that severally throughout, and they didn't believe. They didn't understand. I guess they didn't really understand what he meant. Because they had other ideas about, you know, his kingship and rulership and all of that good stuff.
Thank you, Jesus.
So.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So where we're going to connect this is to see how that, okay, the Holy Spirit and the role he plays in the rebirth touches on authority. So that what we have now is not just delegated authority. We have that, yes. It's inherent in the authority that we carry. But this is not just, I'm delegating you now, go do. It's now, as it were, if you can imagine, picture this, it jumping in me by Jesus, by God, by the Holy Spirit, and then say, okay, I'm led of him. And I'm moving in motion. I'm actually doing the greater works he said I would do, not based on just my own spurious ideas or what I'm thinking in my mind, but based on the ability that he gives, living and abiding on the inside of me. So I'm able to speak to demons. Get out! Sickness, be gone! Arthritis, you die to death now in the name of Jesus. Cancerous growth, you just dissolve or melt away or whatever. As he gives expression, you speak to that condition. High blood pressure, you come in line and then you designate, you speak what numbers you want. Did I just say that? Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.
You had it?
Yeah, just quickly, the word co-heirs just came to my mind, you know, as in when you said it's not just delegated power, but if we're co-heirs with Christ, we're children of God, just as Jesus was a child of God.
Hallelujah.
And walked the face of this earth. And so we are, you know, siblings of Jesus with the same power that he received from God, we have. So it's not like Jesus got it from God and then Jesus gave it to us, you know, and then we have it. But we have it directly by sonship that we have because we believed.
Yes.
And we're children of God.
Hallelujah.
And we have the power of the Holy Spirit directly.
Hallelujah.
And Jesus calls us brothers.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'll just tell you, ladies, you just moved into next week's message, which is awesome, which is great, because we have about just 1 minute and 30 seconds to close the class, and it's awesome. It's been great. On species of the same kind, think about it this way. I'll close with John 12:24. Says, assuredly, Jesus speaking, I say to you, except a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. It says, but if it dies, then it brings forth what? Much grain or much fruit. And guess what? The much fruit that it brings forth is after its own kind. It's after its own nature. It's after its own species, which we are. So, I'll close out by saying this way. You are not ordinary.
Praise God.
Not ordinary.
You are not ordinary. Don't ever look at yourself that way. Don't ever see yourself that way. Prayer team members, would you come? Hallelujah. Wow, if only you understood and got a deeper insight into your identity as a believer. You speak and it happens. You issue a command and it's done, just like that. Bang! Is there anyone here with a condition? Health, matter, issue, situation? Now, I have to state, it doesn't matter how long it's been. I love for you, in faith at this time, I love for you to just stand up, take the step of faith, just stand up and just join up with one of these prayer team members here who are set by the power of the Holy Ghost and ready to minister the power of God in that area. Or if it's something to do with your heart, in knowing Jesus, in understanding who you are, relative to this message as it concerns healing and health, or relative to any other matter, I'd love for you to just take advantage of this, you know, this time and join up with them, and I can guarantee you will not leave this room, this place, the same way you came. Father, I thank you for your word, which just rang out in power. Thank you, Lord, for the relationship and the oneness that it is that we have with you and in you. Thank you, Father, for your power ever so evident in our lives. Thank you, Father, for our bodies, which are your temple, wherein you dwell in grace and power. Thank you, Father, for healing manifestation made evident this morning. Give you all the praise and glory, Lord, for who you are and all that you've done. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you. We're back in time for the service at 10:45. Hope to see you again next week. Praise God.